You have your Bibles this morning. I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We're going to wrap up our series on freedom today, and I hope you've had a good week. We had the 4th of July Thursday. Lots of folks continued celebrating through the weekend. I was trying to go sleep last night, and about 10:30, I woke up with pop, 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 pop. And a bunch of hollering. First, I thought maybe the neighbors were having a gunfight. And then I remember, oh, wait a minute, it's July 4th. And I really thought about this morning when I got up and left the house at 7:30, I really thought about getting some fireworks and setting them off at 7:30 this morning. Going outside and just making noise. But I didn't. I sure thought about it. But I'm so thankful to live in our country and to have the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. And that's something that we must never take for granted. And by the way, the Bible tells us about how we are to be earthly citizens. It says we're supposed to be good, active citizens. We're to submit to government. In other words, we're to be part of the law. Understanding, though, that we are not made for this world. And this world is not our own. We are just sojourners. We're pilgrims on a journey. We're only here for a little while on to our final home, which is heaven, where we'll live for eternity if you know the Lord. But because of what Jesus did for us, we have a greater freedom than even the freedom we enjoy as Americans. It's a freedom from condemnation and a freedom from sin and judgment. And I'm thankful that we can know that what that true freedom is. And so this morning we're talking about how do we be free for real? There are a lot of people that, we say we enjoy being free, but there are lots of people that live in bondage. Even in America, they live in bondage maybe to drugs or to some kind of hobby or some kind of whatever their idol might be that they make the priority of their life. And so though they live in America and they really are not free. Well, how do we as God's children enjoy the freedom that Christ intends for us to have? And I think Jesus answers that for us this morning in John chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse 12 of John chapter 8. It says, Jesus then spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself, and your witness is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness to myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone. But I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. And so Jesus is speaking these words before the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And the Feast of Tabernacles happens in the fall. Jews still celebrate this today. It's one of those three big festivals that the Jews celebrate. And it's several names, but so it might be Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Lights or it's called Sukkot. So lots of different names that it goes by, but it was the last festival mentioned, by the way, and instituted by God in the Old Testament. And it was, the purpose of it is this, to remind people of how God provides. I'm thankful that God is a gracious God that always meets our needs, and I hope you are too. And so during this festival, they would light, and in fact, in Jerusalem, they would put on the gates of the city, on each of the four corners of the city, these humongous lanterns. And in fact, probably several lanterns put together to make one big lantern. And so it would light up, and you could see the city of Jerusalem. Remember, it's elevated up anyway, but you could really see it even at night because it was lit up. And so Jesus, under that backdrop, said that he said, "I am the light of the world." And Jesus is talking about freedom here in this chapter, and he mentions that, and we'll get to that when we get to the bottom of the chapter here in just a minute. But he said, listen, it has to start with one thing. And what it has to start with is you have to listen to the right witnesses. You have to listen to the right witnesses. Jesus said, listen, there are a lot of people that say they know the way. There have been a lot of people through history that have said, I am the Christ, but there's only been one. But there are a lot of false prophets and a lot of false Christs and a lot of false preachers and prophets out there. And Jesus said, listen, I am the one true prophet. I am the one true light. He said, listen, you've gotten this artificial light, but guess what? Every light that they put out in Jerusalem and even everyday lights that they had, guess what? They had to refill that thing with oil. And they had to replace the wicks. But there, the light that Jesus gives is eternal. It never goes out. It never needs to be refilled. And so Jesus is standing before the people, and they're going back and forth trying to trap him so that they can arrest him and accuse him of crime, and yet it doesn't work. And so Jesus, in the backdrop of the Feast of the Tabernacle, says to them and to us, I am the light of the world. The ones who follow me don't walk in darkness. But they walk in light. John repeats that, by the way, that light is one of John's favorite images. And he uses it again in the letter of 1 John at the end of the Bible. And he says, you know what, that if he picks up the same message, he says, listen, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And if you're a child of God, that same light lives in you. And so how your freedom has to begin, and we've talked about this the last 2 weeks as well as today, freedom is not found and cannot be maintained by yourself. You cannot be free just simply because you want to be. You can't just make determination, well, I think I'm going to be free today. It can't just, now, do you have a part to play? Absolutely you do, but we have to understand that your freedom is not bought and paid for by you. It was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that when Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And so the first thing that you have to, if you want to say, you know what, I want to be free, I want to live really free in this world, you have to listen to the right things. And who Jesus is saying is, you have to listen to me and not the world. This world will tell you, hey, listen, you can be whatever you want to be. Malarkey. No, you can't. It says, the world's way says, listen, it doesn't matter who you have to rob, cheat, lie to, steal from. As long as you get what you need and you get ahead, that's all that matters. That's how this world thinks and how this world operates. Jesus says, don't be like that. That's not truth. Political correctness in our culture tells us there's something wrong with believing in Christ. There's something wrong with desiring a holy life. And yet Jesus said that's exactly what we are to seek after. Now, to a certain degree, that holy life is impossible in ourselves. And Jesus says that's the point. You can't find the way, you don't know the way, and you can't keep yourself in the way. You need Jesus Christ. You have to follow Him because He is the light. And the light helps show you the path. And so He said, listen, you've got all these man-made rules. And you think you follow them and you think that gives you right standing before God. And yet you're trying to trap the Son of God, the promised Messiah that's come to deliver the world. You're trying to do them in. He says a few times here as He's chiding them, if you had known God, you'd know Me. And if you knew Me, you'd know the Father. But you don't. You think you do. These were pious individuals that were certainly celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles like every good Jew did. And yet in the midst of their celebration, they're arguing with the Messiah, trying to trip Him up so that they can arrest Him and ultimately kill Him. And so Jesus reminds us, if you're going to be free, you have to listen to the right witness. And the right witness is not someone that hides in darkness, but the right witness is the one that gives light. And that light comes from Jesus. Jesus will always tell us the truth. And in fact, truth is going to become very important here in just a minute. But we have to be careful who we listen to. Now, we all know that, you know, you think back when you were younger, all of us probably had at least one occasion where one friend that we had that maybe we shouldn't have had, that mom warned us about, they were leading us down the wrong path. Turns out they were. That one friend, hopefully that one friend wasn't you. Getting everybody else to do it. But they talked you into doing something you knew better than to do. And how did they do it? They made it, they probably said, listen, everybody else is doing it. And then they said, listen, your mom and dad will never know. Then another one might be, well, we're not hurting anybody. All these lies. We need to understand that ultimately the father lies, Satan. But Jesus is truth. And Jesus is light. And the light of Jesus brings life. And so if we want to be free, we have to understand that we're not going to find it in ourselves and we're not going to make it by going our own way. We're going to find it by listening to the right person. And that right person's name is Jesus. And that brings me to the second point as we continue. Not only do we have to listen to the right witnesses, but we have to line up with the right family. Being a part of a family is important. I'm thankful that I had part of my family here last week, and thank you for being nice to them, and they enjoyed their visit and getting to see and meet some folks that we've talked about, and thankfully made it home safe that long drive. When they got home, they said, we didn't realize how long the drive was. I said, we know how long the drive is because we've made it. Anyway, but family matters. It is important. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about how important family is. And that you cannot be the child of God God intends for you to be alone. You need the household of faith. You need other believers in your life. And so let's take a look. Drop down with me to verse 28 of chapter 8. This is what the Word of God says. Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. And the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And he spoke as he spoke these words, many believed in him. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have not been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, then you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendant. We're going to stop right there in verse 36. We'll pick up in verse 37 in a minute. So Jesus says, listen, you need to be a part of the family of God. And part of being a part of the family of God is doing what the family does. There are certain attributes, there are things that Leslie and her sister do that her mom does. The sisters, Charity and Leslie, they wonder where they get it from. They get it from their mama. They just have some mannerisms, they have some things they do that just that's Helen Waller. You know, that's her mama coming out of Leslie. And we all say when we're growing up, I'm not going to be like my parents. But every one of us, as you've gotten older, something has slipped out of your mind. You said, that was my mom. That was my dad. What on earth happened? Can I tell you, you cannot run from your family. Your family comes out of you. Now, thankfully, our redeemed family loves us and gives grace and is there for us. Sometimes our earthly family isn't always. It's supposed to be, but that it always doesn't work out, does it? So these fellows, they said, listen, yeah, we believe what Jesus is saying. And then Jesus says to him, you know what? The truth shall make you free. And if the truth has made you free, then you are free indeed. Well, how do we know that truth? We come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how we are born. That's how we become a part of the family of God. He says, listen, you've trusted in Abraham. And the Jews, even still today, put a lot of stock in being descended from Abraham. They put Abraham in very high regard. They said, hey, we've never been in bondage. Well, we all know that's not exactly true. But we tend to all remember history through rose-colored glasses. And even as these Pharisees and these that were in this crowd were saying we've never been in bondage, really we're under Roman rule. And they didn't like it. And that's why for many, many decades they had been looking for the promised Messiah to come on this big military horse to overthrow the Roman government. And so they were under bondage, but they didn't know it. They didn't recognize it. They didn't accept that truth. And so Jesus said, you know what? Abraham knew truth. He said, listen, I can tell that you are not of Abraham because of how you're acting. You're not acting like Abraham. You're not behaving like Abraham. Abraham was a man that had faith in God. And remember, the Bible says that faith was accounted to him for righteousness. And he gained right standing before God, not by his works, but because of his faith, because of his belief in God. Was Abraham perfect? If you read the book of Genesis, read Abraham's story, you find pretty quick he was not perfect. In fact, he was far from it. And yet God chose him and God did great things through Abraham. And so he's going to go on. He said, listen, being depending on DNA is not what makes you Abraham. In fact, doing what Abraham did. Well, it wasn't the works, it was the faith that Jesus took. The faith that Abraham had is what makes us right. And it's the same recipe for us today. It's faith in God Almighty and faith that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he was the promised deliverer. And we put our faith and trust in him. The Bible says that God takes that faith and accounts that on our account as righteousness. Now, if we line up with Satan's family, we practice, listen, we're not going to find life. We're not going to find freedom. Sin wants to put you in bondage and keep you in bondage. That's the only thing that sin can do. But Jesus says, I've come not to keep you in darkness, not to keep you in bondage, but I've come that you might be free and that you might have light. But the thing is, we determine which side of the fence we're going to fall on. And so Jesus reminds us to line up with the right family. Because having spiritual, Jesus-redeemed DNA trumps physical DNA. And so Jesus says, remember that the Son makes you free. So you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. They said, listen, the Son has made you free. You will be free indeed. So the way that we are free for real is we live our life in Jesus. And we line up with his family. We understand that we are no longer the family of Satan, the family of darkness, the family of this world, but rather we are family of light. The family of Jesus. But then Jesus goes on, beginning in verse 37, and reminds us of this last point as we wrap up this message this morning, that we have to live out the right witness. So this is what he says in verse 37. I know you're Abraham's descendants, but aren't you trying to kill me? Why are you doing that? Look at what he says. Because my word has no place in you. My word, that truth that he just talked about in verse 32 and 36 that makes us free is not in you. Verse 38, I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And they answered him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. "Which of you convicts me of sin? If it is I, and if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." Now, there are a lot of folks, even in our world today, that are claiming that, listen, my granddaddy was a preacher, my dad was a preacher, or, you know, I've got my name on a church roll at such and such church, or I've been baptized, and they're banking on those things to get them into through eternity. But the only thing that can get us through eternity is the blood of Jesus being applied to our own account. The reality is, you really can't get to heaven on somebody else's coat strings. You've got to make your own personal decision. But here's what Jesus is saying. When you make that decision, it shows in how you live your life. And I tell you that it's disturbing, and there's this dissonance in surveys when it says that 75 or more percent of Americans identify as Christians. And yet, we see so much debauchery and sin and darkness and evil in our world. And I tell you what, if 75% of Americans were living as the Bible instructs us to live, our nation would be a much different place. And we wouldn't be having a good number of the battles that we're having in our society. A lot of the things that we see, you know, the gun crime, the murders, the stealing. Listen, those are symptoms of a problem. They're not the problem. The problem is people are evil. People are sinful. And sin always causes us to do bad because it's dark. But if there was more light, darkness would eventually be overcome. And we have the end of the book, and we know that eventually it is overcome. But boy, it seems like, though, the truth is that darkness can never overtake light. Only light can overtake darkness. That's what reality is, but it sure doesn't seem like the truth, does it? When we read the newspaper, we watch the evening news, it sure seems like this world's getting darker and darker and darker. And we wonder, Lord, can we make any difference? Lord, can we do anything? And Jesus' answer to that is, yes, you can. You can do the works of my Father. Because Jesus says, listen, if you have been made free, and you're part, that means you're part of the family of God. And if you're a part of the family of God, you act like it. You behave like it. Not that we're perfect. Listen, the reality is all of us, this side of heaven, falter and fail and sin and need to ask forgiveness. Every day there's probably something you need to ask forgiveness for. But as a child of God, that's not all there is of your story. Is there some dark moments? Yeah, there's some specks, but there's light. And that light, Jesus said, you overcome evil not by being evil, but by good. How we overcome the killings and the stealings and the craziness going in our world is showing this world more and more of Jesus. By praying for our communities and witnessing, by sharing our faith. Because listen, did Jesus save you? Yeah, he saved you. If you trusted in him as Lord and Savior, he saved you. But if you haven't yet, he will. But listen, if he's made that decision just like he saved you, he can save absolutely anyone. And he will, but the book of Acts asks this question, how? How can it happen? Well, it happens by God's people sharing God's word, by sharing the truth that we have found. Because the great thing about light is light's not contained. You don't, Jesus says, you don't light a candle and then put a basket over the top of it. Not just because you'd have a fire and that wouldn't be good. No, you don't put anything over. You light that candle and you put it in the light in the middle of the room so that it gives light to the entire room. Maybe some of you have been caving or spelunking is its official name. If you've ever been even to one of the touristy caves, you go into this cave. Listen, caves are dark. You really see what absolute darkness is going into a cave and shutting off all the lights. And then after they've turned off all the lights, they'll say, all right, one person turn their flashlight on. That one flashlight lights up the entire cavern. Why? Because light dispels darkness. How do we live as free people that are really free? How do we change the way we live the right message? And we live in the light. And we walk in the light, as John says in 1 John. We walk in the light as he is in the light. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, thank you for the freedom that we have in you. Lord, the reality is the only way we can see any change in our life and the only way we can see change in this world is by allowing you and your spirit to have control over us. The only way is to go from being a slave of sin to being a child of God. But realizing as a child of God, that means we're a bondservant, we're a servant, we're a slave to God. But oh, what freedom there is in being a child of light. And so Lord, help us to live that way. Help us to listen to the right witness. Help us to line up with the right side of the family. And then help us to share that witness with others. So grateful that you not only save us, but you'll save anyone if they'll just call upon you and receive that free gift. So help us, we pray. Forgive us when we fail to be that light. Lord, help us to overcome the evil of this world by doing good in your name and through your power and through your strength. Let's stand together, my friend. If God spoke to your heart and there's a decision you need to make, what a great day. This Sunday, right after we celebrate our nation's independence, say, you know what? Yeah, I'm thankful I'm free as an American, but I have an even greater freedom because I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And let's celebrate that as well.